relationship was really strong when it was a real relationship, because we both almost shared. It was like we were sharing each other's souls, as cliche as that is, but we really had a very good connection. And so when that connection's not there, it just, the whole thing felt just completely off. If you're in a point in a relationship that you know is dead, there's nothing that makes that more apparent than actually going to a wedding. Like, it's just seeing a real couple commit to something, and then it just completely contrasts against the phoniness of your relationship, I guess. I guess the easiest way to get into it was, I moved in with my parents this summer to save money for New York. And when you do that, there's one big consequence. You don't really get to meet women and then bring, because nobody wants to date the 27-year-old guy who lives at home with their parents. That's just, you don't want to do that. And so I was just facing all sorts of desperation, getting rejected constantly by different girls. And so I get a phone call from my ex-girlfriend who moved to Memphis. And she's like, hey, do you want to be my date to a wedding in Bloomington, Indiana next month? And I was like, yeah, absolutely, I will. So I have like a month to prepare for this thing. In that month, I drop about 15 pounds. I quit smoking. I got like a haircut and I shaved my back, which was just weird to do. I had a whole month to prepare. So in my head, I was building out, oh, we'll go do this. We'll spend all day in the hotel. We'll order room service. I had nothing but good things planned. You know, that's the thing about desperation, I think, is that you're not really thinking. I wasn't thinking it was a bad idea. In fact, I just always have the worst luck when I drive out of town. I'm a terrible driver in the first place. I'm really cautious. I didn't know at the time where Bloomington was. It was just pouring down rain. It was really windy, just like tornado weather and just horrible thunderstorms all the way up to Bloomington. It took me probably 9 hours to actually get there because I was just following the taillights of this one, like I think it was a Ford Taurus, for probably like two straight hours, just following real, real close behind them. Me and my little 93 Honda Civic driving to Bloomington in terrible weather. And I finally get to the hotel. She beats me there. And she's like, yeah, just come up to the room. I knock on the door. And I mean, mind you, I 1 month went into all this preparation. I was like, yeah. And she is wearing her pajamas and no makeup and already just has her hair just like pinned up. And the first thought, I was like, oh my God. I shaved my back for this. And so we go and we catch up. And it's just kind of awkward because, I mean, we're exes, but we didn't have, like, a bad breakup. We just, she was far away, and we just didn't feel like doing the whole long-distance thing. We drank a little wine I had brought, and we kind of sat there, just talked about our jobs and school and what we're doing and how bad my drive was. You know, we put on Arcade Fire's Funeral. We used to always listen to that while we were, you know, hanging out with each other. But the whole thing, just, we just kept talking like we were strangers. Like, just small talk wasn't even comfortable. I mean, you can tell people about your day, but usually you get to the deeper stuff, or, I mean, joking around a bit, you know, and we weren't even really joking around that much. Everything felt very forced. Like, if I was gonna try and make her laugh, nothing was occurring naturally or organically, like a real relationship did. It was almost like we were trying to relive like a weekend of our relationship that we never had. And so we just felt detached, and the whole thing just kind of felt like neither of us, it was like dead, but neither one of us really wanted to admit it because both of us had driven 8 hours to see each other. It's like we were both really using each other is what it felt like. Yeah, that night we slept together, and that was even, we felt like complete strangers. It wasn't the same at all. the whole thing felt just completely off. The second you live it in your head, the second you're actually trying to live it in your real life, it won't meet your expectations. And even if it does, you're just comparing it to your expectations. So the next day, we go exploring Bloomington. You know, we do all those things that, you know, couples whose relationships are on the rocks do. Farmers markets. You know, you see the people with a little acoustic guitar. And it's just boring couple stuff. Like, people selling carrots and muffins. Boring couple stuff that you do. So, yeah. And then antique malls. Crappy little wood-framed art with a little paint that says it's art. Ugh, it's just miserable. And neither of us bought anything. Farmers markets are boring. They're just really boring. It's just vegetables. I mean, in my head, and probably in reality, it felt like we were just wasting time. We go back to the hotel. We get changed. She drives us to the wedding. And the wedding is at this just really ritzy country club in Bloomington, which I had no idea they had a country club or anything. You know, it's Bloomington, Indiana. So we go to the wedding, and it's like right by the hole of the 18th, like right by the 18th hole. I'm not even looking at the wedding. I'm just watching golfers just keep coming in and out of like shots, kind of hoping somebody gets hit in the head with a golf ball. Oh yeah, another detail to mention is everybody in the wedding was wearing a tuxedo, except me. You can't see this on the radio, obviously, but I have this just hideous camel skin blazer, and that's what I wore to the wedding. So everybody else is in black, very nice. I'm in just the ugliest blazer you could possibly imagine. I mean, everybody's there is just really rich, and I'm outclassed, I'm outdressed, and I have nothing to talk to these people about. So I just do the only thing I know to do, and I just go keep getting drinks at the bar. A lot of wine, sangrias, champagne. I was the only person at my table drinking Budweiser at one point in time. Wedding goes over, nobody gets hit in the head with a golf ball. Everybody goes inside, the couple does their first dance, and I go step outside for a cigarette. And because I was so stressed out about the whole thing, I actually had to bum a cigarette from a guy. And while I'm outside smoking, the head caterer of the company comes up to me. She came up to me like a surgeon who just lost a 8-year-old kid. Like, she just taking the mask off and just was like, I don't know how this guy's gonna handle it. And she's like, hey, were you with the girl in the turquoise dress? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, she left with our hors d'oeuvre server. Where did they go? And she's like, I don't know. Where do you think they went? And I'm like, but they're gone. You know, 15 minutes, I was only outside for like 15 minutes. That's not even enough time to really get to know somebody enough to just leave a wedding with somebody. Like, let's get out of here. And the hors d'oeuvre server was like, all right, yeah. I don't blame her for leaving with your hors d'oeuvre server because, like, who can say no to bacon-wrapped scallops? And so now, not only am I outclassed and outdressed and have nothing to talk to these people about, I'm abandoned and instantly turned into a wedding crasher at the wedding, calling her voicemail and leaving her just the worst voicemails you could possibly do. I remember calling my best friend up and was like, dude, you're never gonna believe this. He's like, drink, it's all free liquor, right? And he's like, yeah. He's like, just drink as much as you can. And he goes, he's like, you're a good guy. He's like, go out there and dance. He goes, you'll never see these people again. I could have called a cab, but I didn't know if she was at the hotel with the guy or not. I really didn't have any options. And all the bridesmaids find out what happened to me, and they're like, I can't believe she did that. Because when life hands you lemons, you put lemons in your drink and you go and try and make out with the bridesmaids. Everybody just kept feeding me shots. I end up getting just dragged out on the dance floor and going on a party bus. I get invited with all the the bridesmaids and all the groomsmen. I'm dancing with all the bridesmaids. I kissed a couple of them. The groomsmen ended up hoisting me up on a chair like it was my bar mitzvah. And then the bride's father found out about the story, and he knew I didn't have anywhere to stay. He rented me a room in the Hilton for me to just crash at for the night, which was awesome. The next day, I get a cab from our hotel. I'm still wearing all the same clothes I wore to the wedding the night before. I get a cab back from the hotel to my old hotel. Anytime anything really bad happens to me, or just unpredictable, or just like, oh, what the hell am I going to do now? The first thing I go to is, how can I make this funny? And the second I'm able to laugh at it, I start getting over it immediately. It's embarrassing to be abandoned at a wedding, but at the same time, I mean, it's hilarious. And the hors d'oeuvre server's not there anymore, my ex is just sitting there, she's packing up her clothes, and I just walk in, don't say anything to her, I just start packing up all my clothes, just silent and awkward. I grab my keys. I close the door, and I was smiling because I didn't screw up, which made me so happy that I was not to blame at all, and I still had fun the night before. And then I drove back home on just a beautiful fall day, listening to nothing but Bruce Springsteen the whole ride back. It was fantastic. Darkness on the Edge of Town, just that whole album. There's some road in Kentucky that it was just such a great drive, like that, listening to the whole album, and it was so clear, and just there was nobody on the streets because it was a Sunday, and I'm going like 65, 70. I don't know what it was. I didn't do it, and I kind of regret not doing it. But turning my car around, going back towards Indiana, and then going back because the drive was so awesome, I just wanted to just relive that moment. This is like one of the most clarifying, like, it was a huge moment of clarity because I had spent a whole month preparing for something that didn't come to fruition. To where when that gets dismantled and you're just left with just yourself, it's kind of just like a burden's just lifted off you, and you're just like, you have your windows rolled down and you finally are getting to experience, I don't know, yourself in a way. Like, it's a very spiritual journey on the way back from Bloomington, I guess. It's nice. Now, what's really interesting about, I think, the whole thing now is that she's actually still seeing the guy, and I think they just got engaged. Like, a friend of mine just told me they just got engaged, and which is, I guess, great because, I didn't really believe in love at first sight, and now that's nice to know that, okay, it does exist, and, I mean, it sucks to be on the bad end of it, but whatever. I just hope nothing but the best for them, but I just really hope they don't have, like, hors d'oeuvres at the wedding.